Good morning. Won't you please come on in and grab a seat? Good morning again and welcome to Trinity Alliance. We are so glad to see you today. Welcome. My name is Jessie. I'm the associate pastor here, and we are so glad to see you. I know for me, I'm especially glad to be here after being gone for a few weeks. I was away at family camp, and then we had some family matters to attend to with my mother-in-law's passing. And I just wanted to say thank you for your prayers. It's in moments like this where we really sense and appreciate the sense of the family of God that the church is. And I hope that that's something that you all experience as well, that the church is truly the family of God, whether you've been coming for a long time or whether you're newer. I hope that that's something that you sense here at Trinity Alliance, as that's what we strive to be. So as a church family today, we get to recognize our children who are moving up in school. And Penny, our children's director, and Timothy will share more about this in a moment. But this is a day to really recognize our children and in a sense to commit them again to the Lord, to recognize that they're moving through these different seasons of life and to continue to pray for them throughout that. Schools start up again this week, and this is a time to pray for our kids at school, their friends, their teachers. We also want to remember our special relationship that we have with Bella Vista School, practically right down the road from us. This is a special relationship that we've had for many years, where every month we prepare a special lunch for them, for all of the staff, all of the teachers. And this is more than just bringing a meal. This is really sharing the upside down kingdom of God with them. This is creating space to minister to the staff and teachers at Bella Vista. So we also want to recognize that and remember them in our prayers. In fact, would you pray with me right now for our kids, our teachers, and the schools in our area? Lord Jesus, please bless our children today as they get ready for school this week. Give them your peace. May they carry your presence with them everywhere they go. We pray for our schools and our educators that no matter what kids are facing at home, that children would be safe and cared for at school. We pray for our school teachers, and we pray for our homeschool teachers who labor so diligently to teach our children. Would you give these educators the mind of Christ as they prepare and as they teach? And we know that many teachers love and follow you, particularly in this Reading area. Would you shine through them, especially at Bella Vista School, to be the light of Christ? Amen. Well, even if we don't have kids in school at home with us anymore, our culture kind of follows the rhythms of life of the school year. And so, as a result, August 31st, we are having a welcome back to church Sunday. This is an opportunity for all of us, whether we've been gone for the summer or gone for longer, to come back to church, come back to the rhythms and the routines of our regular lives, and to really kind of ask ourselves, what is the Lord calling me to this year? How is he inviting me to be part of this community? And also to ask ourselves the question, who can I invite into this community as well? Perhaps there's a neighbor or a friend that the Lord is putting on my heart to invite to church. And so August 31st is a great opportunity to take advantage of that and invite them in. On that note, would you stand with me as we read this passage from Ephesians 2? Let's read it together. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Amen. Have a seat. So also this morning, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper and his death on the cross and the new covenant. And I just wanted to let you all know that whether you're new or older to our church, that we celebrate an open table, which means that the table of the Lord's Supper is open to all those who have put their faith in Jesus, to all those who have surrendered their lives to him and who follow him. And so we'll be doing the Lord's Supper later on in the service. But with that, I wanted to pass it over to Penny and to Timothy for our Move Up Sunday.
Elsie, come on up. Do we want Liam and Logan to come up? Are they moving up?
Yes.
Okay, come on up, guys.
Yes, up, you also come up.
Up, up. And we want you up here.
On the stage.
Up. There we go. All right. So we celebrate the passages of life. And we have one from nursery, Amelia Swan, who's moving up to preschool. And we have Elsie Velpula, who's moving from preschool to elementary. And last service, we celebrated the Ageros. Daniel is moving into middle school, and Mercy is moving into high school.
So if you didn't know, I'm Timothy, and I'm representing the youth group here since Becky isn't here today. So I just want to say that... Yeah, I think Logan and Liam and Joshua, they are crazy enough to join youth group. Yep. I think they're going to have a I think they're going to have a really wonderful time here making connection, like bigger connections with the youth here and even bigger connections with God. Yeah, it's going to be really wonderful. And I also want to give these Dino Smashers, these egg smashers that they can, I already gave one to Joshua, but basically you just break them and there's going to be some surprise in there. So I want to give them to Liam and Logan. No, Joshua, you don't get one. You already have one. You already got one. So, that's all. Thank you, Liam and Logan and Joshua, for joining the youth group. Woo!
Wanted to just briefly mention some folks to be keeping in mind, folks that I've had some contact with this last couple of weeks. First of all, the Steinerts, Aaron and Rhoda, who are in Berlin, just emailed back and forth with them a little bit in the last month or so, and just continue to be praying for them. They are excited about us having a team going down in November, and I know we have, I don't know how many exactly, 6 to 8, 10 maybe, that are going to Berlin, and so that's going to be amazing, and they are very excited about that. So just continue to pray for them as they continue to prepare to expand the reach of the kingdom there in Berlin. Also, been interacting with Sultan and Elizabeth, who are in the Middle East, and they've been going through really a lot of hard times in the last year and a half that they've been in the country, and so just continue to be praying for them, lifting them up, and just pray that the Lord would encourage them and just be with them and empower them, and that there'd be breakthroughs and that they'd be able to see some of the fruit of what God's called them to do. Think too of Jen Russell, who has been with us for the summer. She's a missionary in India. She's actually heading back this next week to India, and so I got to meet with her earlier this week and continue to pray for her as she's kind of reimagining how she's going to be serving and ministering in India. And so just continue to have her in mind and pray for her. We will be hearing hopefully from Sarah Lawhorn before she heads back, actually moving into Africa area, and so looking forward to hearing a little bit more from her, but I haven't been able to set up with that up yet. Her and I are going to be meeting here in the next week or two, I believe, and try to figure out which Sunday would be good for her to share before she heads out of the country again, so be praying for her. And then finally, Jill Rose is going in for surgery tomorrow, hip surgery tomorrow, and so just those of you who know her, just be praying for her. I got to spend a little bit of time with them and her and Sunny yesterday, so just be praying that surgery go well and that she could get back on her feet and all of that and be able to move about with less pain than she normally has. So, all right, those are, oh, one other thing, is Mark in here, Mark Pitroff? He's not in here. Okay, Mark Pitroff's here for a bit. He's been in the military and got a little bit of a leave here. So if you know Mark and you see Mark, make sure you greet him and give him an encouraging word. All right, so with all of that, let's get into the message this morning. We are taking a continued break from the book of Revelation. Started that this spring and kind of made it through the first three chapters before I went on a little bit of a longer vacation through the month of July, and then was planning to kind of jump back in after I got back. And then while I was on vacation, felt like the Lord kind of encouraged me to spend some time going through our vision statement again. And so this is the third message we're doing on our vision statement and planning to do one more. And then I think I'm going to get back into Revelation in a couple of weeks here. So towards that, in that regard, as far as this short abbreviated series on our vision, I do encourage you, if you've missed the last 2 weeks, to go to our website and take a little bit of time just to listen to those. Helps you to kind of understand who we are as a church, especially if you're newer to our church. Get an idea of kind of the things that we value and what's important to us and who we are as a church. What's our identity? And so a couple of key messages that we're moving in the previous weeks that I think would be important for you to listen to if you haven't heard them. If not, that's okay. You're still going to be able to engage with today. You didn't need to hear those to hear what we're having the message for today. But want to continue. In your bulletins, you have the vision statement at the bottom of or in the front side of that. We've put that in for you so that you can have that and see that vision statement. We also have vision statement cards. They're in the fellowship hall on the tables where you get your name tags. If you wanted to take one, I always keep one of those in my wallet just for who knows whatever reason, maybe you would want to do the same just as a reminder of, you know, who we're trying to become or who we're asking Jesus to help us to become in that regard. So today we are going to be looking at the second sub-statement of a vision statement. Basically, our vision statement is fully enjoying our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're after. That's what we're seeking, and we're seeking to have this intimate relationship with Jesus. That is the core purpose of our life. That is what we get to enjoy. That's what it's a part of. Not gaining necessarily a relationship with Jesus, but enjoying that relationship, enjoying the fullness of all that we have and all of who we are that Jesus has given us, that we receive the moment we came into his kingdom, got adopted into his family. The second statement, which I covered last week, is relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, God's word and prayer. And so I fleshed that out a bit last week. And again, this idea that if we're going to enjoy our relationship with Jesus, we need to develop that trust and faith in him. And a matter of fact, as we enjoy him, that faith and trust does develop. It's amazing. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we trust him, right? The more we spend that time getting to know who he is, interacting with him, we trust him and we rely on him more and more, rely on the Holy Spirit, God's word, and prayer. And so that is our second statement, our first sub-statement. The second sub-statement is the one that we'll cover today, and that is journeying with the family of God in honesty and humility. And so we're going to dive into that today. Let me start with a bit of an illustration. I think I've shared this a little bit with some of you before, but I think all you know, many of you know, I am married, and I am married to an amazing woman named Debbie, and she is amazing, and as many of you have become aware of, she actually is the best part of this duo, Debbie and Sean duo. I've been in several different churches in my life, and the first year or so, maybe everyone's like, oh, Pastor Sean, Pastor Sean, Pastor Sean, and then they get to know Debbie more and more and more, and it's like, oh, Debbie, she's amazing, and oh yeah, that's Pastor Sean, yeah, that's Debbie's wife, or that's Debbie's husband over there, right, kind of thing. Anyway, so. So my wife and I, we are, as most couples, right, we are different. We are not the same. We are, opposites attract, right? And when we're going to drive somewhere, if I'm driving, I have my way, and if she was driving, it would be the opposite way. And so we always struggle, right, whenever we're sitting in the passenger seat because we're expecting, the person to turn here, and they don't turn here. We're like, whoa, what are you doing? Oh, you're going, why are you going this way? That's weird. Anyway, so this is our life. We are different in a lot of different ways. And I praise the Lord that we're different. I've come to praise the Lord that we're different. Over time, it took a while to get there, but because I realized, it's good that she thinks differently than I do, because if she thought exactly like I did, then we would be missing out on other ways of viewing certain things, right, or other ways of going certain ways, of other ways of putting things back in the cupboard after doing dishes. Anyway, these kind of things, right, we would be missing that other side, right, and so it's good that we're different. But one of the things that was I realized early on in our marriage that was very different is that my wife was she really loves musicals. And I've talked about this before. I had never watched a musical not in my life until I met Debbie. And she has her and her family, they love music. This they would do that. They would get together and just watch a musical. I'm like, this is weird. Why would you do that? It made no sense. I mean, where's the action? Where's like some I don't know. Anyway, it was weird. Singing? Why is there singing? Stop singing. Just give the anyway. But over the years, as I have chosen to engage with her in musicals, as she has forced it upon me at different times. I have learned to appreciate more and more musicals to the point now in my life, I really like musicals. And it's the same with crafts. My wife loves to do crafty things. I am not artistic. I'm not crafty. I don't like any of that. But over the years, I've, kind of been drug into that in different ways. And teaching is the most recent one. When we moved here 8 years ago, she went back to school to get her teaching degree. And then now she's a teacher, right? And it's because she decided that's what God wanted her to do, and it's true. She's amazing. She's gifted, but now it's teaching that I'm beginning to see her and operate with her and be with her with kids and all that kind of stuff, and trust me, kids freak me out like crazy. Teenagers are fine, but kids, help. Anyway, but all of this to say that as I've chosen to be with her in the things that she loves, I have developed a deeper love for her. I've developed a deeper appreciation for her gifts and her abilities, and I have begun to enjoy our relationship together better. The statements that we're going to be looking at this week and next week in regards to our vision are statements about joining Jesus. Jesus is different than us. He does different things than we would do. But he invites us to join him in the things that he's doing. And if we will choose to join him in it, we will begin to understand him at a deeper level. We'll begin to love him more. We'll begin to appreciate who he is and what he does more. And we'll begin to enjoy that relationship with him more and more. The reality is Jesus enjoys us. He loves to join us in the things that we do. And he invites us to love the things that he loves and enjoy the things that he enjoys. It is actually unbelievable to me that the perfect, all-powerful, all-knowing, God of the universe, creator of everything, sustainer of all life, invites us to join him in the work that he is always doing. Think about that. Like, we, you know, no matter how gifted we may think we are, no matter how much we may, at the beginning of our salvation, think that God's lucky to have us in his family, like, when we're thinking about, when we know who he is, he does not need us. He doesn't need our skills. He doesn't need our abilities. He doesn't need our pride. He doesn't need our talents, right? He doesn't need our passions. There is no need for us for him to be able to accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish, but he invites us in. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" These verses, Jesus speaking to invite his disciples to follow him. He didn't need disciples. He could have done it on his own, right? God doesn't need us, but he invites us to follow him, to join him, to participate with him in what he's doing. To deny ourselves, to let go of our own plans for our own life, and to instead choose to follow his plans, to follow his lead, to be apprenticed by Jesus. And this is not just a call to the disciples 2,000 years ago. This is a call to every believer, every Christian, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Jesus, that we would choose to enter into an apprentice relationship with the God of the universe, with the Lord of all, the King of Kings. This is unbelievable. Such an amazing offer that we would be able to see Jesus, to see what he's doing, to follow him, to be a part of the things that he's doing, to be trained by him, to be developed by him, to be cared for him by him as we follow. God chooses to do his work through us. Broken, sinful, weak human beings. He does his work. That is unbelievable. It's such a joy. It's such an amazing opportunity. Galatians 2:20, right? This is something we quote all the time. I think we have it on the screen. Maybe not. I should be able to quote it. I can, but "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It is Christ who works in us and through us to do and accomplish his work. This is an invitation. It's not a demand. When we come into the kingdom of God, again, as I mentioned last week, we come in with grace and we get to enjoy grace all the days of our life. That sanctification comes by grace, not through our striving and our effort. So this invitation to join him, to follow him, is not a demand. It's an invitation, right? It's not a, you have to do this. This is, will you do this? Will you come with me? Will you walk with me? And this is a daily, I think, invitation. And I got to say, too, you know, I feel like the Lord has invited me into really hard things in my life. And I've been amazed over and over again, no matter how hard it is. Matter of fact, it seems like even the more hard that it is, the hardest things that he's invited me into, he has given me, like, there is, like, so, it's so clear, like, he is not forcing me to do it. Like, he is giving me a choice. Like, Shauna, I want you to follow me in this. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be painful, and it's going to result in, you know, a lot of struggles and tensions in your life. You can say no, but I want you to come with me in this. I want you to explore this with me. And the amazing and the beautiful thing is he knows us. He knows exactly what we need. Ephesians 2:10 talks about this fact that we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, and that he has prepared for us good works to do before we were born, before even anything was born, before light came in, right? God already had plans for us, good things for us to participate in. And he invites us to be a part of those things because he knows that he's created us with a heart and a passion and a desire to do those things. And if we have the courage, if we have the willingness to choose to follow him, to join him in his work, he will lead us to those things that will bring the greatest satisfaction that we could ever experience, the greatest contentment, the greatest blessing, the greatest joy. All of those greatests are found in following Jesus, joining him in the work that he has laid out for us to do. And what are the things that Jesus is doing? Over the last couple years, I've come to boil it down to two major things. One, he's building. Two, he's strengthening his kingdom. Jesus is always at work, and he's working to build and to strengthen his kingdom. And he invites us in. He invites us to join him in building and strengthening his kingdom. What is strengthening? Strengthening is the part where he's working with those who are in the kingdom of God, those who have been adopted into the family, those who are already saved, already have eternal life. He's interceding on our behalf. He is edifying us, seeking to bless and encourage us, and he is loving us, expressing his love and acceptance of us over and over and over again. I love this passage in Ephesians 4, 9 to 13, maybe a little bit nuanced way to look at it than we normally would. And saying Jesus has descended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Jesus ascended so that he might fill all things, including us. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up, strengthening the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jesus is the one who is building his church. And he has certainly given us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. But he is the one who fills all of those places. He's the one that empowers. He's the one that works through in order to edify, equip the saints. What a beautiful passage, what a beautiful image for us to understand that as we join him, as we willingly choose, not because he forces us, but because we choose to follow him willingly because of his love for us, then he fills us and empowers us and uses us in order to equip the people around us in his kingdom. The other thing he does is he builds. He builds his kingdom. His kingdom is still expanding. It's got some more expanding to do. It's not done expanding. And so he's continuing to build it. And what is building? It's the pursuing. It's the wooing. And it's the working to reconcile every single human being to his Father. And even in this, we see that Jesus, while he is capable of doing it on his own, he chooses to do it through his people. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we, human beings, are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So part of enjoying Jesus is choosing to join him in the things that he's doing. We enjoy Jesus when we are participating with him in, an essence, the family business. And what is the family business? It's building and strengthening his kingdom. Last week, I showed you a triangle. I think we have this, Micah, as well. Maybe the first slide was the triangle that I had in there. This kind of just an image to help you maybe grab onto our vision statement. And you will see again, last week we talked about the relying part, the walking by faith part. And then the two sides of the triangle are both the joining part. It's the building and the strengthening the kingdom of God part that we get to join Jesus in. We get to journey with him, and we get to engage. Well, we journey with the family of God, and we engage our neighbors. And so we walk in community, and we walk in mission. And those are the things we do as we join Jesus. These are keys to enjoying Jesus, to journey with his body, and to do so with honesty and humility, which is what our vision statement says. Those are two important terms. Honesty refers to vulnerability. True community only comes when we truly are known. We need to be vulnerable. We need to share our lives with people in the church. We need to allow them to see us and to know us, to recognize our strengths and our weaknesses. Not all of you get the privilege of making your mistakes on stage in front of everyone. And so that means you got to work a little maybe harder at being vulnerable and sharing some of your mistakes with people as those things come about. We need to be honest with one another. We need to live honestly next to each other, journeying together in life. But we also need to be humble with, and humility is about being gracious. That we would be able to accept other people's weaknesses and accept them just as they are. That we would recognize, but for the grace of God go I. That we would, no matter what this person's sin is, no matter what they have done, that we would be able to see them through the eyes of Jesus and choose to love them and accept them as children of God. This is perhaps one of the weakest points of the church in America. How many divisions do we have in our world in the church? Not just denominational divisions, but how many times have people left church over conflict? As if they expected there would be no conflict when you're hanging out with, okay, one other person, right? Or 100 other people, or 200, or 5, whatever, right? Like, there's this reality, there is no grace, there's no humility. There's no willingness to forgive. So today we step into this journeying with the family of God in honesty and humility. And let me maybe flesh this out even more so. Enjoying Jesus comes when we join him in strengthening his kingdom. But here's the thing. And this goes to ecclesiology, right? It goes to who we are as a church. It goes to how do we do church a little bit here. The invitation for Jesus is to join him in his work. And what is his work in the church? At least interceding, edifying, and loving. Sundays should be a time for us to gather where all of our gifts and our talents are used. It's a time to receive fresh anointings, and it's time to receive new empowerments. But understand this, we have to come to church to give, not to receive. We come to worship the God of the universe, the Savior of our soul, and we come to join him in strengthening his body. Acts 20, verse 35. We know the verse, but we don't like it. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's too many times when we come to church and we expect the church to serve us, to care for our needs, to meet our concerns. But union with Jesus, joining with Jesus as he strengthens his kingdom, means that we come with a servant's heart. If we want to identify with Jesus, if we want to enjoy who he really is, he has invited us to do the things that he did, to be the way that he was. He was divine, yes, but he did all that he did on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. We too can operate in those same ways. We too can wash the feet of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We can serve them. We can care for them. We can love them unconditionally. We can intercede for them no matter what they've done for us. We can continue to love them as God loves them. Indeed, it is how we should come to community in the body of Christ. If your needs are not being met, my encouragement is for you to start serving. Start meeting needs. As I was prepping this message, this concept came to me and reminded me. I am not a counselor, so if you want to be counseled, don't come to me. But I have met with many different couples throughout the years of being a pastor. And I've done a little bit of, I've done a fair amount of premarital counseling and a little bit of marriage counseling. And one of the things that I've noticed in just about every one of my marriage counseling opportunities is that at some point, when things really begin to be spoken about honestly, at some point, both, maybe it's just one, but usually both spouses here, the husband and the wife, both begin to complain about how their spouse isn't loving them. And I've come to this understanding, God brought this to my mind, and I'm not the only one who's seen this, and I'm sure many of you are already ahead of me in this. If you want to have a loving and beautiful and successful marriage, the way to do that is to love your spouse unconditionally. Unconditional love for someone else means it doesn't matter what they do. We have this tendency in American mindset of love is that the other person has to love me just as much as I'm loving them. And if they're not, then, you know, like, then I'm not going to get love back. And we take this to the church as well. Our view and perspective of how church should operate, well, I will love them as much as they love me. I will serve them as much as they serve me. I will care for them and edify them as much as they edify me. And so we come with this bargaining, mindset. I'm ready to serve, but first you've got to serve me. We've got to call this out because it is not the way that Jesus operates. It is not the way the one that we are following operates. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And the way of following Jesus is a way of servanthood. It is a way of sacrifice. It is a way of serving others, being concerned about others more than himself. Jesus himself even experienced this with the disciples. How he would care for them. I mean, imagine this. Have you ever thought about this? In the upper room, When Jesus washes his disciples' feet, right before he goes to the cross. Like, have you ever thought about this? Why did no one else wash anyone's feet, let alone why did no one wash Jesus' feet? By this time, 3 years in, they're starting to get it, and they understand who Jesus is, understanding the cultural realities. Like, how does not one of those disciples come up to Jesus after he arrives and says, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. Here, let me wash your feet for you. You know what I'm saying? But this is Jesus. He experienced the disrespect. And yet he didn't demand respect, even though he deserves it all. He deserved all the honor. He deserves all the glory. But he came as a servant, Philippians 2, right? 5 through 10, this amazing passage about how he let go of this amazing honor that he deserved. He said, I'm not gonna cling to that. I'm not gonna hang on to that. I'm not gonna force people to follow me and to serve me. I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna serve them instead. This is the life that we're invited into. As Christians in the church, we need to come to this point where we recognize this reality. That coming to church on Sunday morning is not about what I will get from it, but about what I will give to it. The amazing thing is, that when we choose to love unconditionally, when we choose to serve others, even when we don't get served, our needs not necessarily get met. Sometimes they do get met, but those needs become secondary. I've talked about this before. I mean, when I understand, when I know, when I've experienced, when I've seen and felt this, had this encounter where God, I just know God has just used me, everything else doesn't matter. That was amazing. That was awesome. That was powerful. I'll go back to What's Brewing and the rodeo church stuff that I've written, encounters I had. Like, I was exhausted. I didn't want to be there. You guys, right? I did not want to be at rodeo church. It was a Sunday evening. I had preached 2 services. I went there, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Barely got a half hour nap. I did not want to be. I was exhausted. I was tired. There was a lot of other places. It was hot. I'm okay with heat, but man, come on. This rodeo is dusty. It's icky. All this. Like, I did not want to be there. But after those encounters, I got to tell you, I forgot all about that. Like, it didn't matter. I wasn't tired anymore. I didn't feel dirty and grimy anymore. I was fired up. I was excited. I was like, oh my gosh, this was amazing. This was so much better than you caring for my needs at home on the couch, Lord. Thank you for inspiring me to get up. Thank you for inviting me in to follow you. And thank you for choosing to use me to build and strengthen your kingdom. Jesus is always caring for, he's always edifying his people. He's caring for you, but he's caring for you as you follow and as you join him. I think one of the evidences that we don't get this in the American church is the famous 80-20 rule, where 80% of the ministry in a church is done by 20% of the people. This is evidence of our self-absorption. Now, granted, there's a reality that, 20% often have more time to volunteer and all that. So this is not like totally black and white here, but it does suggest something. Is there really 80% of the people that are really coming on a Sunday morning and they're just there to receive? If that's the case, I think we're missing so much. We're missing out on the amazing encounters that we can have with Jesus. We're missing out, I think, on God not just fixing our needs or fixing us or making us feel happy,
but we're missing out on Jesus actually shifting our eyes to see the thing that we actually need. Right? So many of our needs that we come, oh, I need this, I need this, I need that. So much of it is so selfishly driven and it's actually things we don't really need. May one of the prayers we pray to Jesus, Lord, do not meet the needs that I think I need, but meet the needs that you know I need. That we would walk in that. If we're going to enjoy Jesus as a church, if we're going to more fully enjoy Jesus, we have to learn to join him in the work that he's doing. And that means in our community together, as a body of believers, we've got to become servants to all. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, you, if you have love for one another. All right, to kind of bring this down a little bit more specifically to our church, I just want to encourage us in a few ways here. I want to really zero in on two aspects of joining Jesus in walking in community. First of all, this recognition that we are to love one another, to edify our fellow believers in Christ. I want to invite you in, and maybe you're already here. Maybe you're partway here. Maybe you're not here at all, but I want to invite all of us to come ready every Sunday, every time we're getting together with people in the church. Let's come ready to join Jesus in caring and serving those people. That would be our mindset. That would be where we start from. How can I care for? Lord, help me to care for. Help me to edify. Help me to encourage. Help me to love this person today. The reality is, if we're not serving each other, we're missing out. We're missing out on the joy of the Lord. We're missing out on intimacy with the Lord. We're missing out on some of the blessings that he has for us. And I got to tell you, in our church, you know, we've gone through quite a transition the last few years. And we've had a number of families that have left, and we've had a number of families that have come. Numbers are about the same, but there's a different group of people in the room than there was 3 years ago. But the reality is that ministry still needs to be done. There are specific roles that need to be served, people, areas that need to be served. You know, our children's ministry continues to be an area of challenge to be able to care for. We had a couple of families, especially that just they were here every Sunday and they were serving and teaching and they have left and we don't have that anymore, and so there are opportunities to minister in more formal settings that if you're not in any way serving in our church, I want to encourage you to consider, prayerfully consider. Now understand, I do not believe, my philosophy of ministry, my understanding of how God works is that I am not an arm twister. I am not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to force you in. I'm not going to put pressure on you to do anything. You know, there are so many ways to serve and minister in our church, and I know many of you are already involved in different things. Some of you are involved in too many things, 80-20 rule, and it would be great if you could let go of some of those things. Others of you maybe aren't enough in enough, right? And you need to be doing more in some sense. But again, this is not a guilt thing. If that's what you're hearing from me, I want to just say it right out. Like, this is not a guilt. This is not a high-pressure sales. This is like, no, seriously. I've been a pastor for almost 30 years. I've experienced this. I cannot believe how I have enjoyed Jesus through serving him. The number of times when I've just walked away and went, wow, God, that was amazing. Seeing him empower me to do things I've never been able to do. Giving me words and visions and perspectives that I don't know where that came from. Helping me to hang out with kids for a week. I told you, they freaked me out. Like, I've done a couple of camps where I was in like a cabin with like 10, four, I don't know, 8-year-olds. And it was so scary. But God empowered me to do it. Like, and it's amazing. And I've got stories from that, funny story, from that, right? So this is not high pressure, but I'm just saying, if you're not serving somewhere, if you're not involved in some formal ministry or informal ministry, or if you're not serving each other, then we're missing out. And we have formal areas of, you know, again, next gen ministry, you know, youth and children, hospitality ministry, greeters ministry, our media and our worship team, our prayer teams need help, our facilities need help. All of these areas, they're just, it doesn't matter what your gifting is, doesn't matter what your talents are, we've got a spot where you could plug in if you wanted to. And we also, we need people to, and I think we do this well, we encourage one another well. But we need to continue to do that. Come with words of blessing. But we need to build relationship with each other. That we would come every Sunday ready to join Jesus in honest and humble relationship with one another. That we would begin to be vulnerable with each other. Share our story, our true story. Listen to other people's true story. Embrace them as they are. To walk in community on Sunday and during the week with each other. To participate in a connection group. If you're struggling to make relationships, then a connection group, I would encourage you to be a part of a Bible study, some kind of group where you can get together with people every week and you begin to hear their stories and be able to share your story. Also, check-ins during the week. Have you ever done this? Like when you're here on a Sunday morning, maybe you're talking with somebody and they talk about a prayer request they have or something that's coming up in their life. And then later in the week, do you text them and say, hey, how's that going? Or have you compartmentalized Sunday morning from the rest of your life? Like true relationship, true community expands outside of the building, right? Outside of this campus. And that we would be thinking about that. That we would come and worship together. And we're going to be making a change to our service here in about 3 weeks. In order to help to make this happen. And we're calling, we're creating an hour in between our services. We've done this at Easter. We did it at Jesse's ordination service this last spring as well. But we're going to have an hour every week between our service. But it's not an hour in between so that I can go down to my office and, you know, I don't know, take a nap, right? It's not for you to say, oh my gosh, I get out early, I can leave, whatever. No, we're inviting you into community. And we want to elevate the importance of that for us on a Sunday morning by giving us more space to do that. And there's a lot of us that already love doing that anyway. We stick around for a long time after first service, chatting with people. That's awesome for you. It's not going to change much. But I want to invite and encourage everybody to participate in that, to stick around for first service folks, to stick around for an hour and have those conversations, get to know people. Those who maybe regularly go to second service, we're going to invite you to show up early before service begins so that you can come in and participate in that. We're calling this hour in between. We're calling it the table between. That we would come together with a table in between, but in between services, both services coming together and being in community together. So come with expectation on Sunday mornings of intimacy, not anonymity. We're a small church, and what we do well as a small church is it gives us an opportunity for true community. And so let's all be intentional about that. All right, worship team, come on up. We're going to go into communion now as well. And I want to just, you know, kind of give us some thoughts as we go in. And I kind of the way to conclude this message and then transition into communion is the follow-up questions I have at the end of the outline. I just want to just read those out and encourage you to be processing these with the Lord. Again, we get an opportunity to join Jesus, right? He's inviting us to participate with him in building and strengthening his kingdom. Today, we're talking about the strengthening portion. He invites us into community with him and with his body of believers, right? He invites us to serve one another, to care for one another. So the questions here, are you joining Jesus in serving and edifying the people in our church? Why or why not? This is for you to think about. And then where is Jesus inviting you to join him in serving? Again, some of you, maybe you're already serving too much or a lot, right? So I'm not, you know, don't feel like you got to add more to your plate. This is for those that maybe aren't serving very much or not at all. The second question, are you joining Jesus and connecting personally with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Why or why not? Do you know people here? Do people know you? Like really know them? Have you invited them in? Have you been vulnerable with them? Have you been honest with them? Have you been humble with them and received their stories? And then who is Jesus inviting you to join him in community today? As we go to communion at the table, May you be asking these questions of the Lord. Lord, help me to join you more fully in strengthening your kingdom, to be a part of serving and loving people, and to invite people into true relationship with me, honest, intimate relationship with me. We don't have to be intimate with everyone. We don't have to have a perfect, best friends with everybody in the room. But we need to have people here who know us and who we know so that we can more fully enjoy Jesus. And it's also, that's how Jesus serves us. That's how we get blessed and encouraged. That's how, when those real needs that we have, God meets those real needs. I can't tell you how many times I've been served by people in the church. So often, that's how God does it, right? When he's going to bless us, when he's going to encourage us, he's so often, that's most of the time, 99% of the time, it's through somebody else in the kingdom of God that he sent to speak a word to me or to encourage me or to pray for me or to do some small thing for me or some big thing for me. It's amazing. So as we go to communion this morning, let's seek Jesus in this time. And may we allow him to direct our thoughts and to speak to us. May we respond to him. May we do the things that he invites us into. May we have the courage to follow him in it. Ray, would you take that back corner table, and I'll take the corner table over here. Just invite you to come back and receive the elements in a moment once I get back there. And then you can take the elements at your own pace. And then we've got a song or two to wrap up with worship. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for inviting us on. It's in to join you in what you're doing. It's unbelievable that we get to join you in that. And so as we contemplate these things today, as we process what you're saying to us, pray that you just make it abundantly clear what you have for us and what you're inviting us into. And Lord, would you give us courage to follow you? Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for paving the way, for being the way for us to walk. Help us to walk with you in the ways that you walked, for your glory, for your for your praise and for our blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Lord, thank you for this community. Lord, I love Trinity Alliance Church. I love these people. I love the joy and the privilege that it brings to me to be able to be a part of this community. And Lord, I thank you for the individuals that you've brought here. I thank you for their desire to know you, their desire to join with you and to participate in the things that you're doing. I thank you for their desire to be in community with others and with each other. And so, Lord, I just pray that you continue to build that in us as a church. Continue to help us to develop in knowing each other, and maybe those who are newer to this church, Lord, I pray you give them the courage to dive into deeper relationship and to be vulnerable with us and allow us to be vulnerable with them, and that you'd also help us to serve one another. Lord, I pray that that would continue to be an important part of our joining you and encountering you and enjoying you, Lord, that we would be able to partner with you as you serve others. Thank you for your word, and that gives us and reveals so many of these truths that we get to teach and to live into, including Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and following. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being with us this morning. We forgot to pass the baskets, so if you have an offering you'd like to give, we do have boxes in the back that you can just drop those in the box on the way out. It looks like we got basket guys standing there as well that you can put them in the basket. We're getting another song to do worship if you'd like to stay. If you'd like prayer, we would love to pray for you. If you're ready to fellowship and encourage one another, then you do that in the fellowship hall. Thanks, church. Have a good Sunday.